Paul was writing, even though he was imprisoned, he was writing to the church, to the Christians there in Rome. And he was sharing with them how they had really messed up. They'd messed things up and they thought that they were being wise, and all along they became fools. He shared with them the importance of the way that God judges us. And there are three different judgments, the way that God judges His people. He shared with them how they need to be out of control, that they should give control of their lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ, and how they can know that they are right with God, that they should be living their lives three-dimensionally, meaning having a past, having a present, having a future, and that gives them a balance. He shared with them God's wonderful promises of how God never breaks a promise that He makes through His Word. And then we saw last week how we can have the secret to victory over the flesh. And as Paul was actually using himself as an example, he would say, the things I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. And the things that I really want to do, that's what I don't do. And then he cried out and basically said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall save me from this body of death?" Today, I believe that he wants us to see the warfare of the flesh. Matter of fact, as Paul was in prison and he wrote to the church at Ephesus, these are the words he wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. He said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." How many of you remember Flip Wilson? "Yeah, the devil made me do it." That's right, Joe knew where I was going. "The devil made me do it." Well, in all actuality, it wasn't probably the devil himself, because the devil is not omnipresent. What I mean by that is this: God is the only one that is omnipresent. God can be doing a work in my life at the same time He's doing a work in my brother's life up in Iowa. And He, even though it might be a different work in our lives, He is working on us at the same time. He is omnipresent. He is in all places at all times. The devil is not. Now, he does have his powers of darkness. And as Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world. We wrestle against the powers of darkness. So, the devil may orchestrate it, but it's not truly the devil that is tempting us. It is his unholy angels. It is his fallen angels, the one that followed him when he rebelled against God. It is his minions that are doing his bidding. So, when we are tempted, it is probably one of his unholy angels that is flying close to our presence and tempting us. Many times when we think that the devil is on our shoulder and the devil is the one that's speaking, and we have the good angel and the bad angel, and we've all seen that, well, that's truly not what happens. We do have a struggle within us, the Bible tells us. A struggle between good and evil. And the spirit does not abide with the flesh. And the flesh does not abide with the spirit. So there is that struggle within us. But we actually have three separate struggles in our lives. The first struggle is the world, what I call the world. It is the culture that we live in. Our culture is anti-God. Have you ever seen that? I mean, the world that we live in is not friendly towards the things of God. They are only friendly to the things of for ourselves. And when we are selfish and thinking about all the things that we desire to do and all the things we want to do and want to accomplish and want to get, that's the things of the world. It's the culture that we live in. Have things your way right away. Speaks to the selfishness of us. We also have that fleshly side to us. That old sin nature, that which is born of Adam, that which we were born with, and we all have that old sin nature. We were born sinners, and because we're born sinners, we sin. See, we do not become sinners when we sin. We're already sinners, and because we're already sinners, we sin. And we want to do what we want rather than what God wants. Well, we struggle, thirdly, against the powers of darkness. When we are tempted, that's what we're talking about today as well. So there needs to be some kind of a warfare, some kind of a plan that we can install into our lives so that we can have victory over the flesh, or else we are constantly being bombarded by temptation and yielding to those sins in our lives. Paul writes this in our main text. He writes this in chapter 8. As Paul was sharing his own personal example, the things I want to do, the things I know I should do, I should pray, I should witness, I should write more. I know I should do all of those things, but there are times that I don't do those things. And the things I don't want to do, the things I don't want to do, like I don't want to have a judgmental spirit. I don't want to have a judgmental attitude. I don't want to be critical of others. I don't want to, you know, put others down and try to raise myself up. I don't want to be selfish, but that's what I end up doing. And Paul cries out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall save me from this body of death?" And then he writes in the 8th chapter, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now, some Bibles don't have that last part, but it's important to know it's a part of the Word of God. It should not be deleted or left out. Because there is condemnation, hear me, when you are in Christ Jesus and you continually walk in the flesh. There is condemnation, and God will speak to us and have us repent of those sins. Now, the reason why that is true, Paul continues on with that thought process, and he says, "I want to talk to you about the works of the flesh." And that's where we are at today, the warfare of the flesh. Join me in Romans chapter 8, beginning now in verse 6. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 6. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Now, who's he writing to? He's not writing to the lost. He's writing to the church. Those that live in the flesh cannot please God. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much. We thank You, Father, that You know that there is a war that goes on and exists in our members, that war of good and evil, that war that we have against this world, as well as the war that we have against the powers of darkness. Oh God, we are as Paul said, "Oh wretched man that I am, who shall save us from this body of death?" And Father God, we are so thankful that You are the only one that can do that. And so Father God, we pray today that You will open our eyes of understanding and that we might truly see how to have this warfare against the flesh and how we can be victorious by what You have done in our lives. And we thank You now and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There is condemnation, but that doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation or that your salvation hinges on that. We're talking about the difference of obedience and disobedience. That's all. And when there is disobedience in our lives, we are operating in the flesh. Amen? It is that flesh, that selfishness, that is disobedience because we're not listening to God. We're listening to someone other than God. That's disobedience. So we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about disobedience and obedience. And that's why He's talking to us in this light. That's why He wants us to understand that the flesh is our old fallen nature that we inherited from Adam. When he sinned, we were all born now as sinners. And that fallen nature is what we deal with on a daily, moment-by-moment experience. We deal with it daily. And the flesh is so unrighteous. Hear me. It cannot be tamed. It cannot be reformed. And it cannot be improved. It has to die. And that's what Paul is saying. So if it cannot be tamed or reformed or improved, if it has to die, what has to take place in our lives for that to happen? I'm glad you asked. The first thing we need to see is the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh. Look with me, please, in Galatians chapter 5. Now, these works of the flesh need to be memorized just like the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. The law cannot bring out those attributes in our lives, but the works of the flesh should be memorized as well. Why? So we can recognize it in our own lives. Look at the list. The list, first of all, is found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, and drunkenness, revelings, and such the like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. The list is made up of four groups of sin. The first group is what I call the sensual sin. Adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, uncleanness. Those are sensual sins. Now, I don't need to go into the detail of those because time does not permit. But I believe we as adults all know what sensual sins are. It is the lust of the flesh. It is the lust that we have, sensual lust. The second group is religious sins. And that's classified by idolatry and witchcraft. Religious sins. Now, we don't have a lot of idolatry or witchcraft in our society. There's some. But idolatry creeps into the church. It creeps in every different way. Very small, very what appears to be insignificant ways, idolatry creeps in to the church. Then we also have social sins. And that is classified as the hatred, the variance, the emulations, the wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. Those are the social sins. And we see those fairly prevalent at times in the church. I'm not talking about Eastview. I'm talking about the church at large, where some churches will envy other, and people within the church will envy each other and so forth, and they will, you know, there'll be some strife and seditions that take place because of that. And then you have the personal sins. The personal sins are envyings and murders and drunkenness and revelings. Those are the personal sins. Now notice what he says in verse 21 once again. I think you need to go back. There you go. Notice what he says. Envyings and murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do. It's talking about they which continually do these acts of sin shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, once again, we're not talking about losing one's salvation. But if a person is continually doing these sins without any recourse from God, without any chastisement or discipline or chastening from God, if they are continually doing that, they are proving to themselves, to God, and everyone around them that they are not a child of God. That's what that is saying. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, each sin dishonors God. Every time we sin, we are dishonoring God, and it is a strike against God's right to lead us and to discipline us. Whenever we sin, we're basically saying, I want to listen to this dark power in my life rather than follow what you are doing. Yes, now there are times that we make mistakes. We've all done that ignorantly, amen? But we've also done things willfully. How many have ever been willful? If you're not raising your hand, you're lying. Willfully, you're lying. Okay, I got almost every hand up. Some are looking at me like, I'm not going to raise my hand. When we sin and it's unconfessed, we are becoming more and more controlled by Satan and the powers of darkness. When it's unconfessed and uncontrolled in our lives, we are becoming slaves to sin. That's why Paul was writing to them. Because he says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall save me from this body of death? And he's trying to let them know, you know what? We all struggle with these different things. They're different, but we all have struggles in our lives. And that's why Paul was writing to the church at Rome. Secondly, we need to see how Satan controls and gains control in our lives. He gains control and strongholds in our lives in very specific ways. Look with me, please, in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. It says, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away all lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. The warning is found there in verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Why? Because when we give place to the devil, we are literally giving control of our lives over to Satan, and we're letting him develop a stronghold in our lives. Let me share with you how that works. When I quit smoking, I was a three-pack a dayer. I smoked three packs of cigarettes a day. Now, that's about 60 cigarettes in an 18-hour period. There were some days I wasn't awake for 18 hours, so that's in excess of four cigarettes an hour. Pretty well, I was lighting one right off of another one. All right, because that was just the way I was. Now, when I quit, I went through withdrawal. I was not a happy camper. And I didn't want anyone around me that was happy either. Hence, I tried to make their lives miserable. Yes, I was a Christian at the time. But if I'm going to be unhappy, those around me are going to be unhappy too. Because I like to share. Some of you know what I'm talking about. What would happen is I'd go for about a month or two, and I'd get success and victory over this. I'd get the ball and chain off of my leg. I'd get it to where I wasn't thinking about it very often. And then it wasn't as though I was being tempted, but you know, I thought, you know, hey, I want to reward myself. I'm just going to have a cigarette and that's all. I can control this. So I'd buy a pack of cigarettes. I'd take one out of it. I'd light it. I'd throw the rest of the pack away. I just throw it away, and I smoke that cigarette, and that was my reward for quitting smoking. Okay. Now you can, yeah, it makes no sense, that's right. So then in another week, I'd want to give myself a reward again, so I'd buy another pack, and I'd take a cigarette out, and I'd throw the pack away, I'd light it and smoke it, and everything was good. And I'd do that 3, 4, 5 weeks in a row. And then pretty soon I'd get to the point, you know, this is stupid that I'm throwing those cigarettes away. Because I could just keep them. And then whenever I want a cigarette, I could just have a cigarette. So then I'd only have maybe one or two in a week. And it would move to 3 or 4. And then pretty soon it was one every day or a couple times a day or just after I ate or I would just start smoking like I used to. Why? Because slowly but surely, I was giving control of that problem back over to Satan. I'd given control to Jesus Christ, but slowly I took that away and gave it back to Satan. And he had such a stronghold that he actually lied to me several times, more than once. Yeah, you can reward yourself for not smoking by having a cigarette. That's stupidity. Amen? But that was Satan's lie. That's how he works. He's a liar and the father of lies. Now, willful indulgence produces bondage. Write it down. Willful indulgences produce bondage. When we willfully choose to do that which God tells us not to do, It develops bondages in our lives. It develops that stronghold so that pretty soon all Satan and the powers of darkness have to do is clap their little hands, snap their little fingers, and we do exactly what they want us to do. They lie to us, and we think sometimes we can control it. Let me tell you something. We can't. We can't. I'm a smoker, but I don't really smoke. But there are times someone will light up around me and it'll be... It's like it's got a fix on me or something. It's like it's got radar or a magnet or something that's drawing me to it. And it's like, oh no, this is not right. But that's the way Satan works. Thirdly, we need to see the three steps. Now, this third part, when I developed this message, was supposed to be a whole message in its own. So I've got to condense about 40 minutes into about five. So you're going to have to listen quickly. Okay? All right. The three steps to victory over the flesh. The first step is this, walk of honesty. It's the walk of honesty. It's being honest with ourselves and with God and the struggle that we have. It's being honest. And not trying to kid ourselves or believe the ploy that Satan plays on us. You know, for us to dabble back into a stronghold that Satan has in our lives is idiotic. Why do we for one moment think that we can continue in something and have a different result? It's the epitome of stupidity. We have to be honest with ourselves. God wants us to see and admit our problem with our old fleshly nature. And until we become honest, we will continue to become defeated and live defeated lives. Every time I smoked, I felt guilty. Every time I smoked, I was afraid my wife was going to smell that on me. So I doctor myself up with aftershave and all sorts of stuff. She knew. She knew. You don't go out to the garage and work on something and come back in smelling like you just, you know, ready to go to a party. No. We need to be honest with ourselves. Secondly, we need to have the walk of death. What does that mean, Pastor? The walk of death. Look with me in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Notice what he says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. It says, "If they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Galatians 5, 24. If we are truly being honest, we should have a walk of death. Notice also what Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says. "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also..." I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong chapter. That was not making sense. There we go. Chapter 6, verse 11. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Victory in spiritual warfare comes through objective fact, not subjective feelings. I'm going to say that again. Victories over the flesh come to us by objective fact, not subjective feelings. When we accept Christ as our personal Savior, the Bible tells us that He bore in His body our sins. That my sins were placed upon Him, and because of that, He became sin for me. He took my place. And because He took my place, now when He's crucified, I am crucified with Him. That's why Paul would say in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the power of the one who loved me and gave his life for me. Crucified with Christ. That's the walk of death. So that when Satan says, yeah, go ahead and give yourself a reward, Craig. You can control this. Reward yourself. Have just one. You can put it down anytime you want. You've beaten this. I'm supposed to look at him and go, oh, okay, no. I'm supposed to look at him and say, get thee behind me, Satan, for you are an offense. We need to be dead to that. That old appeal. That stronghold that he has in our lives. We are to be dead to. Thirdly, not only the walk of honesty and the walk of death, but we should have the walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 in verse 25 says this. Galatians 5 verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we have truly crucified our flesh, if we have accepted what Christ did on the cross at Calvary as full payment for our sin, if when He died, we also died, we can now walk in the Spirit. Let me show you how that works. If we live in the Spirit, we should be filled with the Spirit. And when we're filled in the Spirit, we can then walk in the Spirit. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what Paul was telling the church at Galatia. He says, you know, if you truly live in the Spirit, you should walk in the Spirit. It's not just something you do once. It is a day-by-day step. And sometimes when those strongholds are in our lives, it's a difficult time for us because every step we take, we have to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every step we take. So that we are walking the path that He has chosen for us. In conclusion, warfare of the flesh is real. If we're going to have victory over it, we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to trust in the facts. It's an objective fact that we can trust in. And then we need to walk by faith. That's how we can have victory over the flesh. And when we're fighting that, we know that when we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, that we can be honest with ourselves and with God. That we can truly have that death, that walk of death. And therefore we can walk in the Spirit. As our worship team comes, maybe there's something that you need to pray about. Maybe you need to simply come and pray about a difficulty that you're having. Maybe there's a friend that's really been struggling and you need to pray for them. Maybe you just like to come and thank Him for what He has done in your life. So as we sing this invitation is for you to come. Let's all stand.